Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life-style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's
Fabulous and Wondrous Cafe. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. We thank you for joining us live if you're here. And if you're checking us out on demand, we thank you for that as well. And thank you for all the wonderful quotes and just different kinds of comments we get when we're not going live. That's awesome. So we have a few of our regular diners here tonight. Miss Marveen, how are you tonight?
I'm great.
You're really great. Yep. She's really good, really good. That's good. And we're kind of coming. Marveen calls from the Southern California area. How is it over there for you tonight?
A bit chilly. I mean,
we need to get another diner from Canada. How about that? Well, you know Canada. Maybe we could get Morrison, but I don't think that counts because he actually is here in California.
They're not in Canada.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm glad you're doing great. Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Mr. Jamie calling from Washington.
Okay, and how is it in Seattle
all right
tonight?
Oh, it's clear and cold and a little rainy.
Clear and cold, just like,
I mean, it was overcast and rainy, and then it gets clear, and then it's cold, and I don't know. I'm sitting inside.
There you go. Okay, but nice and warm and enjoying
being indoors. And it gets dark real early, too. I'll tell you.
We just had our time change.
I'm still trying to catch up with that hour. That's
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's get Miss Gloria's on tonight, too. Miss Gloria, how are you?
I am just so excited to be here tonight.
Yeah, you don't get to jump on the show, come over and join us here at the cafe that often. We're glad that you're here. And how is it in your neck of the woods?
Probably the same as Marveen's. It's a little bit cool.
A little chilly. It's finally feeling like it's getting close to wintertime, getting everybody all, you know, ready for that. So how did everybody do with the time change so far? So far, so good, or does it feel kind of odd? For me, it always feels kind of odd. It takes me a couple weeks to kind of get used to the fact we've got the light a little bit different.
Well, over here, by the time December rolls around, it'll be dark by 3:30. So you're actually getting up and it's dark, and you're going to work, it's dark, and you're coming home and it's dark. So.
Wow, 3:30, really? Get started. Well, you
yep.
Up in Seattle, so,
but then,
wow, that's interesting.
But then the days are, it's the longest night, shortest day, and then it tips over that way. So, but
yeah,
right now, trying to get acclimated to that hour, so, yeah.
Yeah. Any of you ladies want to chime in?
I don't go by the time. I usually get up according to first light, and so I'm usually up early, so I like the first light until it starts to get dark at night, and then I'm going, oh, shoot, it's only 6 o'clock, but it feels like midnight.
Yeah, exactly. Like I'm not going to go to bed at 6 o'clock at night, but, you know, thinking about it anyway. So there you
exactly.
Go. Yeah. Well, you know, I think one of the good things is that they finally figured out that it's way better to do it after Halloween than before Halloween. So, I mean, I'm glad that now they've moved it. I think they had to move it a week or two just to make sure it was always going to be the Sunday after Halloween, whenever that worked out. So all the trick-or-treaters wouldn't have to be, you know, out in the dark so much. So that, I think that was finally somebody on a smartphone. Although Marveen and I had a conversation about that, I think about a week ago. We were talking about that, you know, do we even really need, you know, the daylight savings and all that good stuff. And weren't you sharing, Marveen, that it's just really costs a lot of money to do this kind of thing where we change it all the time?
Well, it does. And primarily when you think about the amount of time that and money that is spent to accommodate all these changes in numerous ways, even with regards to... Say it again. But I think, and my husband and I were talking about it, and you know, originally it was at least said that it was because of the farmers, but the farmers have always adapted to it. And the confusion it causes and throwing so many people off the way that it does is, you know, a part of it. But what is the real purpose of it? Because mm-hmm. daylight is daylight, whether you change the time or don't change the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
your daylight hours are what your daylight hours are. And it would seem to me, and Morris explained, my husband explained to me that he said part of it was done because, you know, people go to work and they go to school and like work starts for many people at 8 o'clock. And so what they try to do is accommodate that. But the other end of it is people go home in the dark anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, weren't you saying there's somebody someplace that they only change it a half an hour?
Oh, yeah, is it New Brunswick?
Is it Brunswick? I don't know. I was shocked to hear that when you shared that with me. I was like, what?
No, I think it's New Brunswick, and they do, their time is a half hour different, for example, which is, I mean, it's kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting thing.
You can check it on the internet. It's just kind of one of those interesting little anomalies. See, Arizona doesn't mm-hmm. change their time either. But when
I heard that Hawaii doesn't either, right? Hawaii doesn't change theirs.
See, I don't know about
that
for sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know
right.
that for sure either. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think what's interesting is the one thing that is fairly constant is the way that it throws everybody off.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I'm really okay with it, but mm-hmm. I'm not in the same position as a lot of other people, and it's not just the amount of time. Because, I mean, you can accommodate the lost quote unquote of time or the gain, whichever way they're going with it, but I just can't help but question: does it really do that much good?
Well, and is it saving, supposedly it's supposed to be saving resources and things like that. You know, does it really save resources
well, it's
anymore?
Supposed to
like
be,
you were saying, it actually costs us more money than it is just to keep it status quo kind of thing.
Well, and what kind of resources is it really saving? Because these people are doing the same things. The only
mm-hmm.
difference is because of the time change, in theory they're doing it in a different time, at a different time. But in perspective, they're going with daylight with regards to a lot of what they're doing anyway. And, you know, people up until they started doing the daylight savings time thing, people were getting along just fine.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
but,
I think we get along just fine.
Well, but, you know, I think that's just another one of those things that
somebody decided
let's control this, and they did it.
Hey, guys,
yeah.
I say we get the government to conduct a $9 million study.
Yeah, that's more money, right? I wonder how much the first study cost.
Well, I think they would do it.
Well,
I think they would
figure,
do it for $9 million. Yeah.
Well, and if you figure that, you know, the resources and the technology has changed, and yes, it was enacted originally for the farmers so that they could get their harvest in, and it was due to the economic changed disaster that it would cause within our economy. But, you know, technologies have changed, and it's kind of like when you look at the IRS and why they started the taxation, and it was only supposed to be for a certain period of time, and nobody ever goes back and revises it. They finally looked at the human nutrition chart, which used to be based on the original study was based on pre-World War II. And it was done on rats, you know, and mice and rodents. And so it wasn't about human nutrition at all, and they finally redid that. I say we get them to redo it. and change it, because I don't think that we need it.
Well, I think that's true, but I think what you just said also makes sense, because there are contracts, government contracts that have been in existence with different vendors for years and years and years, and nobody has gone back to look at those contracts. And, for example, there are several areas where at the point in time those contracts are written, a certain thing was not readily available, so they had to have it done. And now not only do they get what's already done, they still have it done because it's still written in the contract. And when you take a look at some of the numbers regarding some of those things, and that's only one particular area, and that's in the steel area, but I also know that there are things sitting in warehouses out there. And what's happened is a lot of these things, unfortunately, have been allowed in one way or another, either through people not sharing information or whatever, that it's way out of hand.
It's like a million-dollar toilet lid. You know how that goes. We've had that out there, too.
Yeah. But, you know, it's one of those things that people don't look deep enough. I think that, you know, one of the things that and I'll be posting this relatively soon, but when you take a look at, you know, if people really took a look at taxes in perspective, we pay income tax and state taxes on our salaries. We pay taxes on our houses. We pay taxes on our cars. We pay taxes on a lot of the things in the grocery stores. We pay taxes on gasoline. I picked up a newspaper the other day, and there was and it was on the front page. I didn't really go ahead and read it. But there was some kind of, what do they call it, money laundering or bribes or whatever, to the tune of $115 million in, I believe it was San Bernardino County. But the bottom line is, we all pay for that stuff. Mm-hmm. We pay for the roads. We pay property taxes. We pay automobile taxes. And I think the sad part is that they want to come after us for more, and yet the interesting thing is the government itself, because of all of these things that have been glossed over for so long, is now in major financial trouble. And who do you think is going to help bail that out?
They can't manage what they have. Why would I want to give them more? I mean, when you have investors that are investing in a business, if the business is not operating correctly, they've stopped investing.
Right. It's
just, to the banking industry. No.
well,
I wanted to talk about something
banking,
I saw online.
You know, take it to banking, take it to healthcare, take it to any number of other areas. And it's just kind of interesting because we all need to make adjustments and changes. And I think, you know, the sad part is we didn't collectively choose all this. We didn't, and yet we are going to have to fix it somehow.
Well, and I think we are, you know, it's clearing house. There's a lot of like we're saying, cover-ups and things like finally come into light, so we can know what's going on about that and be able to, you know, have things get changed. So, you know, that's the good thing.
Well, change, and this is a time for great change.
So I was looking online the other day and actually forwarded this to Marvin. I apologize to Jamie and Gloria because it was kind of a last-minute thing. But there's a 21-day gratitude that they're doing from the Mentors Channel. If you go to mentorschannel.com, there's this really wonderful organization of people who have gotten together that are really looking at gratitude. And they're going to be doing it for the 3 different weeks. And it's just, like I said, you go to mentorchannel.com or even just put 21 Days of Gratitude in. I'm sure if you search that, you could find that. One of the main presenters with that is Louis Schwartzberg. And he's a filmmaker and really has taken his whole career into just photographing beauty. And this is every day you go to the website, there's going to be a presentation done with just about maybe 15, 20 minutes where they talk about a certain aspect of gratitude, and then there's a guest speaker that talks about that aspect, and then there's a meditation of all these really beautiful nature scenes that Louis has done over the years that he's put together. So it's just, it's a kaleidoscope of just all these different images. So I really wanted to encourage people. So far they've got a million people participating in that, which I think is just really fabulous. And the first week is going to be on inner strength. And day one, which again started on Monday, which is the fourth, was on finding your purpose. And day two was the power of focus. And then that one dealing with being centered and mindful and taking downtime to really enjoy beauty and to slow yourself down and be able to look at that. So inner beauty is the first week. I mean, inner strength and inner beauty is the first week. Second week, they're going to be covering family and friends. And then the third week, they'll be celebrating the beauty of the universe and also the wonders of and awe of Mother Earth and being with nature. So just a nice gift to give yourself for the month of November is to do something like that. So, Marvin, did you get a chance to take a look at that before we got on the show?
No, I didn't. I haven't really been on my computer today or for the last couple of days. And I'm getting better.
Well, that's good. That's good. Well, it's definitely going to be, you know, a gift if you pass that on to somebody else. And again, it's totally free, and they do have upgrades. And I'm not sure, there's just like different levels of some of these sites to be able to take a look at stuff like that. But just such a wonderful thing to really break it down, gratitude and all the different ways that it is. And then having people from just all different walks of life, different mentors. You know, they have artists on there, actors, they've got, you know, inventors, just all different kinds of people have been asked to talk about, you know, their aspects of how they see for gratitude. So it's just very, very cool to have that, something that they're sharing. So
I think
that's
something that we all need to remind ourselves of on a regular basis, because it's too easy. Once we get spun off on something, a lot of times what happens is we pile things on top of each other. And then some little thing quite often acts as a catalyst. And I think an attitude of gratitude is really important if we can just enjoy the little things.
Well, don't they say one of the most powerful mindsets to have is just coming from a level of gratitude? It's one of a very high vibration coming from that aspect.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. And I think also, you know, in conjunction with that, sometimes we are involved in so many things or so much stuff in our minds that we don't even have time to stop and take a look at that little bit of gratitude from time to time. We're too busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I just love the idea of, you know, like coming from, you know, your purpose. It's just, you know, finding your purpose was day one about providing just all the, you know, everything contributes to the whole. And, you know, knowing that on whatever level, you know, you're a part of that. We've had conversations before on the show about, you know, just being kind to someone, just smiling at someone, how that can be so significant to someone's life. You know, you think, well, how could that really make or break anybody? But it does. It's those small kindnesses, you know, and just being grateful for, you know, someone to acknowledge you sometimes can be such a gift to having something like that going on. Yeah, so very, very cool.
I had an interesting thing. I led a workshop a week or so ago, and what was really interesting was and one of the things that happened to come up in the workshop when you were talking about energy spreading, one gal indicated that all of the, you know, that all of people's random thoughts are what's causing all of these disorders in the world. And that's really not true. Our thoughts are energy, where our energy goes. And she was talking specifically about energy, because thought is an energy, but it usually goes to the things that we are more concerned about for ourselves, which is more often the case than we are about other things. And And I think what's interesting is I think that we're in, for lack of a better word, we're in bodies that are contained, because I think we're here to learn how to be more in control of a lot of things in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And too often we, you know, too many people, include especially at work, have a tendency to control other people or attempt to in ways that are not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was really, you know, when I've just been seeing so much of that where, you know, when people come from that kind of level, I just always attribute that to some kind of level of misunderstanding or having a level of fear somehow in themselves.
Well, I mean, that's a possibility. And sometimes people get so caught up in their position or their whatever that they forget that the people that are actually in their environments, and I'm hearing more and more about it with all the new technology, is that,
mm-hmm.
that people are put in front of computers and they get very little interaction. And quite often many people are spending time at their desks, even during their lunches, working, as
mm-hmm.
opposed to taking a look at some simple thing out, you know, in nature or some little appreciation of some kind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is all of those things that we do, whether it's our computers, television, could be any number of other things, actually use our energy in ways we're not aware of. And I'm not making any of it a good thing or a bad thing, but it is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. So another really neat email that I got, actually I got today, was remember last time there was the image, did you guys ever hear about the X Prize, where they had were wanting to do space research and space technology, where they had put a call out to a bunch of engineers and inventors and things like that to create a spaceship that basically people could go up and be able to have just the common person be able to go out in space and be able to experience space. And they were able to invent that.
Richard
with the
Branson
X Prize.
Has done that.
Yeah, Branson was a part of that. Yeah, he actually, after they had invented it, he pretty much kind of stepped in and said he would do a lot of the financial backing for that. And so now with XPRIZE, they've expanded it a little bit, and they're actually working a lot with ocean technology and really concerned with the ocean health and exploration. One of the oceanographers that they have on there, if you go to XPRIZE.org, and go to the becoming an ocean ambassador. They have a really cool, web pages right there that deal into the whole thing with ocean health and exploration, and also working with different things. They had the last contest that they had was funding. It was, I think, a $2 million prize where they were asking for engineers and innovators to come up with some way of dealing with, remember we had the oil spills and stuff like that with technology, finding ways that would minimize the level of cleanups and having it be quicker and faster and more efficient to the ocean, so there wasn't going to be a lot of chemical damages and things like that. And they really made great strides in that, where, I mean, nowadays it's only like it's a third what it used to be when it comes to levels of anything being able to having it harming the ocean and stuff like that. And they're saying in just statistics that 70% of the Earth is covered with water and only 5% has ever been explored when it comes to levels of, you know, what we know about what's under the ocean. And I think that's just really fascinating, because if you go to that section on the website, it's the guy who's the oceanographer there was talking about just all the different things that they realize that are in the ocean, you know, mountains that are taller than Mount, you know, Everest. And there's lakes in the ocean. I'm like, well, how does that happen? You know, it's like water is water. But it definitely has a different kind of flow. And I wonder if it's, because I know there's some parts of the world where actually you can see the separation to where you have salt water and then you've got regular, you know, fresh water kind of thing. Where they, you know, there's definitely a line within that body of water where you can see how it shifts. So just some really cool videos and different kinds of informational things that are out there. And one of the big primary problems that they're having is finding that there's a lot of acidity, and we have a crisis of acidity on the in the oceans right now. They're saying that that's going to be our biggest thing. They're saying within probably 3 to 4 generations, that, you know, the amount of air and quality and food sources that we're getting from the ocean could be in dire straits if we really don't take care of it now. So it's really cool that they've got a lot of different things that they're asking for funding for, and asking people to come forward to be inventing these things to help deal with these things now instead of having it, you know, even more dire in the future. So I wanted to encourage everybody to go check that out, because it did a beautiful job with it, and there's a lot of great information there. And again, something that you can just, if you feel led to want to become an ambassador for the ocean, you know, they have a place where you can just, you know, join for free and all be up to date on all the different things that are happening there. So just, that's really cool too.
What is the website again?
It's X, just the, you know, the letter X, prize.org.
Prize?
Prize, P-R-I-Z-E, just like a, you know, a gift, prize. Turning the tide on our ocean's health.
And people can go back and listen to this and get this information, what, for a week or for a while anyway, right?
Oh, it's going to, yeah, it'll actually be over probably for about 6 months. And anytime you go to XPRIZE, they're always up to date on all the different stuff that they're finding for research and things like that. And just they're up to date on the different things that they're seeking funding for, because they're just trying to be really on the cusp of whatever's going on that really needs to have our attention, and really moving things forward with technology and having it being in balance with the planet, and just being a win-win for everybody. You know, we're able to have our conveniences, but also making sure that the Earth isn't suffering for that, you know, and those having the fact that we're having those different developments and what we consider progress. Sometimes it isn't necessarily progress for the planet. You know how that goes.
Yeah,
so, sure. So it's just really, really cool, because like with the whole acidity thing, they're saying that the H2O or CO2, sorry, the CO2 rate has gone from like 10% to 100% faster than any other time in our history. So
what are they attributing it to?
They're not sure. They're not sure. So they're really looking at that. I think it's a combination of a lot of different things. Part of it's pollution, and part of it's just the fact that we've had the global warming. Just a lot of different things have been attributed to that. I think part of it's the fact that, you know, we've been talking before on the show, probably for at least a year or so, about how, you know, we've got the tilt in the North Pole now, so that's affected the way that the planet's responding to that, the fact that, you know, we've had some polar shifts. But that's also affecting it. So there's a myriad of different things. But well, I think more than anything, it's the level of just human consumption and usage and things like that that's part of the problem that they've had, and some of the chemical aspects of things like that. Because one of the things they're really looking into is the coral reefs and ways that they can minimize, if not, you know, reverse some of these things that have been happening with some of these really delicate ecosystems that are out there. So,
but you know, one of the things with that, though, has to do, there's a lot of it that is human contribution, but there's also, and throughout history, there have been times when there has been drastic changes. And so part of that, there is a part of it that is a natural process.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, it's like, you know, volcano eruptions and everything else
exactly.
That you've been having, you know, the last 5-10 years. Yeah. This different stuff evolving and having stuff change. So, you know, and we were talking about that before too, where, you know, we think it's this radical thing that's happening. But I mean, if we had talked about maybe 200 or 300 years or even longer than that, when it comes to the level of, you know, the Earth shifting and changing, for that it's a natural, you know, progression of just the way that the things are changing from, you know, the regular flow of things. But to us, it's this radical thing. So that's what we
think.
Well,
I mean, if you take a look, in honesty, if you look back just the last 100 years and look at the changes that we've made in transportation and communication and, oh, my goodness, so many other areas, I think that you know, there's evolution and change in almost everything, and it's constant.
Yeah, it is constant. It's really amazing. I mean, even think 50 years ago where we were and where we are now. So Well, like normal, our half an hour goes super, super fast. So I want to thank all our diners and thank anybody who's checking this out on demand. And next time, we'll see you here at the Transformation Cafe. Thanks for joining us, guys.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again. Travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.